You ready? So that's the sign from God this morning is to articulate. There's scripture reading that we're going to refer to a little bit later on, but I want you to hang on to your Bibles in that place. And I do want to bring greetings from my own church, Blockhouse Bay Community Church, and also from the Alliance Churches of New Zealand. Today I have one simple objective, and that is to encourage you all to make prayer a priority in your lives. I'm convinced that prayer is the secret to a deeper relationship with God that flows into a more powerful and effective Christian life. But the interesting thing is, the importance of prayer is not really a secret at all. Of course, the importance of prayer is weaved throughout the Bible and modeled by Jesus and the apostles, the early church. But so often we miss it or maybe choose to ignore it. If we were to ask the average Christian, is prayer important? Most would say yes. But if we were to dig more deeply into the lives of the average Christian to find out how much time they spend praying, the answers, the reality, would be less convincing. In most churches, prayer meetings are the hardest meetings to get people to come to. And they are the meetings that are often the least attended, the lowest attendances at those meetings. Why is that? What is it about prayer that becomes such a challenge for people, and particularly people that gather together? But I'm not just talking about church prayer meetings today. I'm also talking about personal prayer, that most important aspect of prayer, because that's where we show what we really value, how we prioritize our time. The private prayer life of a Christian will reveal a lot about the depth of their relationship with God. And so today I want to encourage you to make prayer a greater priority in your lives. I want to encourage you to think about the role that prayer now has and how you could change that, how you could open your life up for prayer to take greater priority for you, both personally, within your families, and within the church that you're part of. And I don't want to do this by making you feel guilty. I don't want to do this by telling you that the Bible says that you should, because it does. I want to encourage you to prioritize prayer for two main reasons this morning. The first is that prayer deepens our relationship with God. Prayer deepens our relationship with God. Paul says in Philippians 3 that he wants to know Christ more deeply, and that everything else in his life, everything he's achieved, everything he's experienced, is like garbage, rubbish, compared to the knowledge and the deepening of his relationship with God. I hope that everyone here leaves this place with a hunger to know God more, to deepen your relationship with your Creator God, your Savior, your King, and that you are willing to expand your prayer life to experience that. Prayer deepens our relationship with God for at least three reasons. Firstly, prayer takes us into the Holy of Holies, where God is revealed. We just sang a song that elevates the nature of who God is. We've called out that God is holy. And so we celebrate his holiness, his perfection. Prayer transports you and me into the very presence of God. And we need to use some spiritual imagination to catch the wonder of what's going on. In Hebrews 4, we are told that Jesus is our great high priest. And because of what he's done for us on the cross, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Whenever we pray, we are coming into the presence of God, his throne of grace. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We engage with the triune God. And if we would open our spiritual eyes and allow our spiritual imagination to take hold, we will begin to understand this beautiful and powerful dynamic of prayer, and our relationship with God will be strengthened. It will become powerful. Consider the wonder of being welcomed into God's presence when you pray. Consider the invitation to come before the throne of God with your requests. The words you speak and the thoughts you offer to God take on a whole new significance. Prayer transports us into heaven. The second thing that's important is that prayer demonstrates our complete dependency upon God. In John 15, Jesus talks about being like a vine, the source of life. And he says that those of us who believe in him are like the branches. He tells us to stay connected with him because he is the source of life, both physical and spiritual. He uses the word abide. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. To abide is to trust, to depend upon, to stay connected with. And prayer reminds us that we are not God. We are not self-sufficient. We are weak and vulnerable without God in our lives. Prayer humbles us and elevates God. It clarifies our relationship with him. And just as God invites us into the throne room of heaven, he invites us to abide with him in relationship. To live a fruitful life that flows from that close relationship. And thirdly, prayer brings us into submission to the will of God. Jesus said to his disciples, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So much of our prayer life is about what we want God to do for us. But our prayer life should be centered in what God wants us to do for him. You see the difference? So many of our prayer requests are about what we want God to do for us. But our prayer should be centered in what God wants in our lives. What God wants in our world. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will must take the lead in everything that we do. As we submit our will to the will of God, our relationship with God deepens. Because we begin to live as his sons and his daughters. We begin to trust him that he knows best. That he is a good God with a good plan for our lives. We learn to love what he loves. We learn to hunger and thirst for what he desires. We learn that God's will is more important than our prayer shopping list. Prayer deepens our relationship with God in so many ways. And that should enough be motivation to want to deepen and broaden our prayer life. Who doesn't want to know God more? And if you don't, well, that's something you need to question in your own hearts this morning. Who would not, why would we not want to grow more deeply in our relationship with God? But I want to suggest that there is a second motivation to pray that is deeply challenging. And the idea picks up from what Jesus teaches about with the vine and the branches. And this is that prayer is vital to living a powerful and effective Christian life. Prayer is vital to living a powerful and effective Christian life. When we take a moment to consider what the Christian life is really all about, we soon come to the realization that we need to pray. We have to pray because we need God. We simply cannot live the Christian life that he's laid before us without a life that's bathed in prayer. God has called us to a life that is simply too difficult to live in our own strength, in our own wisdom, with our own intelligence. He has called us to a life that cannot be achieved simply by human accomplishment. It's a life that requires supernatural empowerment. Just listen to this brief little list here. God has called us to love Him with every part of our being. How are you getting on in that regards? That's enough to make this life difficult, right? God's called us to love Him with everything that we are. And then He adds it, He says, and we've also got to love each other. Look around the room. That's a pretty tough job, right? Loving each other is not easy, right? I've been married for longer than I can remember. It doesn't get easier. You know, it's easy for my wife to love me, of course. But it's loving people is hard work. Loving people requires the ability to see them through the eyes of God, to be able to see the quality, the beauty, the value, the dignity of other people created in His image. It involves us removing the prejudices that we have about people. It involves forgiving people for past hurts that block those relationships. It's hard work. Maybe that's just me. God has called us to live a holy life. He's called us to live like Jesus lived. Want a difficult assignment? Try to live like Jesus lived. You know, that's what He's called us to. In the church I'm mostly part of, our statement says we want to be a tangible expression of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. You know, we set the bar as high as the bar can go. There is no greater life than the life that Jesus lived. And that's what He calls each one of us to. And He's called us to take the message of Jesus to those who haven't heard in the whole world and make them disciples of those new believers. So do you think you need God's help to live this kind of life? Do you think you can do this without a dynamic prayer life? The answer is no, you can't. I can't. None of us can. If we think that our own wisdom and our own education, our own strength and cleverness will be enough to fulfill the purposes of God for our lives without His divine intervention, we're fooling ourselves. God has simply called us to a life that is impossible without Him. God has called us to a life that is impossible without Him. But prayer releases the power of God into our lives to make the impossible possible. And friends, this is why we need to pray. We pray because we are desperate, because the mission is too big, the calling is too great, the God we're called to worship is too incredible, and what He's called us to can't be achieved without Him. And so, folks, we call to pray because we simply have to. In the words of Paul to the Ephesian church, he says this in Ephesians 3, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He, that is God, may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul prays for the Ephesian church that they would know God and that they would be empowered to do the work that God has called them to. And folks, that prayer is completely relevant for each one of us here today. We need to know who God is, and we need to be empowered to do what God's called us to do. Paul links a growing knowledge of God with the growing presence of God in us. empowering the work that God has for us. Prayer is vital to living a powerful and effective Christian life. Without it, we are weak and ineffective. In fact, to choose not to pray is to reject God's presence and empowering. It's a statement of independence that we don't need God. And how foolish is that? While we take a moment to consider the vital importance of prayer and the life that God has called us to, I want to close by referring to the passage that was read to us earlier from Ephesians 6. You may want to open your Bibles or open the apps on your phone and have a look at that. So we are called to love God, and we've already said that's tough. We're called to love our neighbour. Maybe that's even tougher. We're called to live a holy life, to choose to please and honour God with every decision we make. We're called to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. That list is pretty tough already. It's a life that's impossible without God. And then, by the way, in the midst of this, of all of this, we're called to do this in the midst of an epic spiritual battle against demonic forces who are seeking to destroy us. You've got the hardest job description that you'll ever read in your life. There is nothing more difficult than what the Christian life calls us to. And that's why we're told to die to ourselves and take up that which is in Christ. We simply cannot live this life without Him. We are desperate for Him. Prayer is this vital dynamic that connects us with God. It says in verse 10 that we read before, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. One of the reasons Christians don't prioritize prayer, I believe, is because they don't understand that we're in a spiritual battle. You don't maybe see it as tangibly as other things, and so it's easy to dismiss it. It's easy to read a passage like this and to say, well, that was then, but this is now. That was the ancient world. We live in the modern world. But the spiritual reality is all around us. Some of you have seen it and experienced it. Some of you know that there's a battle going on right now for your life, for your family, maybe for your children. There's a battle that's going on in the heavenlies, and we are called to be in that battle. And we engage in that battle in prayer. One of the reasons that we sometimes don't see and understand is we're blind to these things. And God wants to open our eyes and understand why we need to keep coming to Him. If for just a moment we could get a glimpse of the spiritual realm, our lives would change forever. Prayer would no longer be an option. It would become a necessity. And I'm not trying to scare you. I just want to make sure everyone's awake. I don't want Christians going through life thinking that they can coast or they can kind of watch from the sidelines or expect someone else to pray for them. I became a Christian when I was 20 years old. And for the first 10 years of my life, I thought prayer was for old people like Stephen. It was just the way I thought about things. I watched these people pray that were older, and I heard them pray, and I thought, I can never do that. I can't pray like that. I can't use nice words like that. I can't be articulate like that. I can't do it. Prayer's for old people. And one day when I get old, I will begin to pray. And then one day I woke up and realized that my hair was disappearing. I was becoming old. And so I needed to learn how to pray. And so what I've realized is that prayer is for old people, but it's also for young people. It's for all people, because we're all in the spiritual battle. We're all called to a life in Christ that requires the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us. And so we need to take up arms together and pray. We need everyone in the game. We need everyone taking their stand for God. Everyone making prayer a priority. Because in the place of prayer, we find victory. That's where we win the battle. Prayer takes us into the holy of holies of God's presence, where we are changed, where we are empowered, where we are released for impact in this world. At the end of the Ephesians passage that we've been looking at, after the sober warning of spiritual warfare is revealed, after the armor to fight the spiritual battle is explained, then we see that prayer activates the battle plan. Twice in this passage we're told, put on the armor of God. Every part's important. And then we're told to pray. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So we're kitted up with the battle. We're ready for battle, but we engage in that battle through prayer. We engage against the forces of the enemy by praying into those places and those spaces and those situations. And if I had hours to talk to you this morning, and you're all glad that I don't, but if I did, I could tell you story after story after story of how prayer has unlocked things that only prayer can do. Do you know that there were people praying for the fall of the Berlin Wall between East and West Germany? That happened well before many of you were born. That moment in history was brought about by people who prayed that that wall would come down. You know that there hasn't been a movement of God in this world that hasn't started by a group of people, in a little group of people in a room that's been praying for the work of God to come amongst the church, a city, a town, whatever. Prayer unlocks things in a way that you and I can't in any other form. Prayer has this incredibly powerful dynamic to bring victory where it seems that there is defeat. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Don't ever think prayer is passive. Prayer is active. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, hey, look, I'm praying for you, but if there's something tangible I can do for you, let me know. You know, that is just a total load of garbage. Prayer is the most practical thing you can do. You know, sometimes it's a cop-out too, you know. Oh, you're moving house, so I can pray for you. Well, actually, what we want you to do is come around and move the boxes. You know, praying is great, but there are times when it's better that you just bring a trailer with you, you know. But prayer is practical because prayer moves things in the heavenlies that trailers and box moving can't do. So prayer is eminently practical. Prayer is not passive. Prayer is active. Prayer is warfare. Prayer brings us into contact with the Almighty God and empowers us to have victory. Prayer, it says, empowers us, but it also empowers the work of God. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. When we pray for missionaries serving overseas, it makes a difference. I'm connected with a whole lot of our global partners, and many of them will regularly send me messages. I'll get WhatsApp messages that'll pop up all through the day because of our time zone differences. And they'll just say, look, I'm going into this meeting. Can you pray that God will work in the situation? I'm visiting this place. It's dangerous. It's dark. I need to know that God is with us. And so all throughout the day, there's these opportunities to pray and to remember what God is doing around the world. And we can pray here in New Zealand, and it can have an impact in India. It can have an impact in China. It can have an impact in Blockhouse Bay and Pakuranga and wherever it is you live. Prayer is not limited by distance. It's not limited by time zone. Prayer is the most powerful form of communication that any of us will ever be involved in. Are you with me? Just want to make sure everyone's awake. Prayer is powerful, and I just want to call you to it. I want to tell you that it's for you and it's for me. And if we could just escalate and prioritize prayer in our lives, you will see radical transformation, firstly in you. Prayer changes us first, before it changes anything else. Because in the place of prayer, we humble ourselves before an almighty God, and we seek His empowering in our lives. It's good to be humbled, and it's good to see who God is and be encouraged by His greatness and His goodness. Prayer empowers us, but it also empowers the work of God's people around the world. When we pray for our schools and our cities and our families, it makes a difference. Paul says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Prayer makes us bold because we draw courage from a God who is not afraid of anyone. Paul asks for fearlessness to proclaim God's word. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, if he needed to pray, we need to pray. Paul asks for fearlessness to proclaim God's word, to proclaim that prayer that God would just give us what we need to be faithful as we live out our lives and share the good news of Christ in the environment, the communities where God has placed us. Prayer connects us to an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God who is forever victorious. God cannot and will not be defeated. And He wants to empower us to fulfill His plans for the world. When we pray, we acknowledge the enormity of the task before us, but we recognize the even greater God who is with us. Prayer recognizes the power of God to do the impossible. Prayer recognizes that the future is not fixed. It is not already decided. God asks us to pray so that the future can be determined according to His will. And for the theologians in the room, if you want to talk about that over coffee, I'd be glad to. The future is not fixed. Prayer changes things. Prayer can move mountains, we're told. Prayer can do the most incredible things that none of us are humanly capable of. God has given us this beautiful means of communication, and it's not, fortunately, about the elegance of our words. It's about the sincerity of our hearts. There's so much more that I could say about prayer, more than one sermon allows. But I want to ask you, I really want to plead with you this morning. Would you make prayer a priority in your lives? For those of you that are in families, would you commit to praying as husbands and wives? Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for breakthroughs in your family. Pray for your church community. Pray for what's going on around you. Pray for your businesses. Pray in your workplaces. Pray that God would do incredible things in every environment that you find yourself. Pray that you would grow in relationship with God, that you would grow deeper and deeper and deeper in your walk with God, and that you would be empowered to live a powerful and effective life for His glory. So let's pray. Father, we just want to commit ourselves, Lord, into your holy hands today. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that you have given us this incredible gift of prayer. That, Lord, in your wisdom, that you determined that there would be a means of communication between God and humanity. That there would be this mechanism by which we could think and our thoughts could go to heaven. That, Lord, we could speak out loud and, Lord, you could hear and listen to us across hundreds of languages, hundreds of time zones, millions of people simultaneously able to be received into the throne room of heaven. Lord, if our minds could just wrap around the complexity of what's going on right now as the world wakes up, as prayer begins to be sent heavenward. Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you, Lord, that you know the thoughts of our hearts right here today. Lord, you know the burdens that we carry. You know the anxiety that we have. You know the desires of our hearts. And Lord, we just want to bring, Father, our lives into your hands again today. We want to be empowered, Lord, to live the life you've called us to. Without you, it's hopeless. With you, it's victorious. And so, Father, we just want to ask you to come by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, into our hearts today. Would you fill us afresh? Would you re-empower us, Lord? Would you bring a new passion for you, Lord, into our lives today? And Lord, would you help us prioritize prayer? That, Lord, everything about our lives would change. Everything about our church community would change. That, Lord, the fire of the Holy Spirit would burn amongst us. Lord, that we would just know your hearts for us. Lord, we just want to thank you that you're gracious with us. That, Lord, you know our struggles. Lord, where we need to be woken up, would you wake us up? Lord, where we need to be encouraged, would you encourage? Lord, where we need to be challenged, would you challenge? And Lord, by your grace and your mercy, would you lift us up? And would you take us to a new place with you? And would you help us become the people you've called us to be? And we ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.